Going.
From Los Angeles, California, you're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. From our house to your house, thank you for having us. And if this is the first time you've listened to the show, when you listen to the show, you turn the lights down low. And here she is, my doctor and your doctor.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, your love doctor, your mistress of the airwaves, your horny housewife, your mother confessor, your pleasure preacher, darling, your fairy queen Titania, getting ready for a Midsummer Night's Wet Dream coming up soon to Dr. Susie's Speakeasy in the soul of downtown L.A., and that is where we're broadcasting from on Radio Suzy One, on the World Wide Web, Worldwide Revolution, Worldwide Sexual Revelation. And if you want to talk to me about any aspect of sex, love, life, death, my number is... toll free if you're in North America, 1-866-289-7068. Anywhere else in the world, it's 213-749-1330. And if you're in Skype, you can put yourself into the waiting room and I will put you into the talking area. Hey Zeus. I love that name. Just goes to show you how the Greeks lead to the Italians. Yeah, turn him up. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, Zeus.
How are you?
Good.
What's
up? Mars up in the sky. I think I hear the lightning sizzling all around you.
Hmm.
Are you?
I think it's Skype, not me.
Excuse me?
I think it's Skype, not me.
It's Skype. Perhaps. You are our first Skyper, so I'm not sure if this is a Skype syndrome or what it is.
I was wondering if you've seen Monday's Wall Street Journal.
Did I see the Wall Street Journal? You mean about
Monday.
The bonobos?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, I saw the New Yorker article that it's based on, and I'm in it. And I have written a response to it that's on my blog as well as Counterpunch. So you can read it on the blog. But, yeah. Did you read it? Did you read the New Yorker?
No, not the New Yorker. I'm looking at the Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal. Well, of course, the New Yorker is a little more subtle. I call it bonobo bashing. But the Wall Street Journal seems to take that... that bash and turn it into a riot. I mean, they seem to like to, you know, bash the bonobos and the people that love them. And if you read the article carefully, you see that there is no evidence that bonobos are deliberately killing each other. There is no evidence that they are doing any kind of warring like common chimps and, of course, humans do. I talk to this guy, Ian Parker. I know of the primatologist that he spent a lot of time with, Gottfried Hohmann. They haven't really discovered anything new. Bonobos have never been declared by experts to be completely nonviolent. Only that they're a lot less violent than common chimps and other primates, including humans. And they haven't been seen killing each other in the wild or captivity. This primatologist, Dr. Hohmann, says that he saw a group of females kind of gang up on one male who was bothering an infant. And they've ganged up and they kind of jumped up and down a lot for 20 minutes. And then when the scene cleared, the male was nowhere to be found. So we don't really know what happened to this male. I would think that if they'd killed him, he would be lying there dead. I not only read the article, I read it like about 10 times because
this
is very important to me. Excuse me?
Right, it is from the New Yorker.
It's from the New Yorker, which means we hold it with great weight. It's like a Bible of some sort, especially right. for us liberals and libertines.
But let me add something to that. What they call, actually, primatologists call an event, the event of the female bonobos beating on this guy, okay, who then disappeared. The only thing they found was some fur there. But the event took place in 2000. Okay? So far, this is...
It wasn't something new.
This is not new.
And I had heard about this stuff before. I mean, even when I first heard about the bonobos in 1996, I heard, or 1993 actually, I heard, okay, these are relatively peaceful creatures, but they do punch each other. I saw them at the zoo. They were, you know, slapping each other. They sometimes have, you know, get out of control, but they don't seem to kill each other, at least not so far. Another thing that I don't feel that, I mean, there were so many points that I felt the article was way off base on, but one other critical point is that these bonobos are not totally instinctual creatures like insects and snakes, and they are influenced by their environment, and their environment has been decimated recently, the Congolese rainforest, and it's been at constant war since the mid-1990s, and not only that, but poachers are constantly killing the bonobos. When you see your kin being killed one by one or two by three, you know, it's bound to have a traumatizing effect on you. So I wouldn't be too surprised if the bonobos got more skittish and violent and nervous and stressed. They also talk about... Excuse me?
In captivity.
No, I'm talking about in the wild. In the wild, that's where...
This article says this guy's never seen one in the wild, only in captivity.
Which guy?
Oh, that's DeWall.
You're talking about DeWall.
Right,
DeWall. See, okay, there's several different primatologists that this article is dealing with. One of them is Franz DeWall. Franz DeWall has been a primatologist for many years, and he always looks at his animals in captivity. That's the kind of studying he does. He happens to be a very good writer, a very good communicator, so a lot of the media has picked up on a lot of the phrases that he's used about the bonobos as well as the common chimps, and he's become kind of a spokesperson for these chimps, but no, he doesn't study them in the wild, but he always interviews the primatologists that have studied them in the wild. So I think this... this New Yorker journalist was really trying to come up with something shocking in bonobo land. I think he wanted to emphasize this primatologist that took him into the wild and that feels that bonobos are a lot closer to common chimps than the other primatologists feel. And he also, I think he has a bias himself. I mean, if you read the New Yorker article, you see he's kind of a bullying kind of a guy. And he one of the statements he makes that is really strange to me, well, there's several very strange statements, but when he's trying to say that he doesn't see the bonobos having sex very often, and then he talks about the GG rubbing, which is when the two females rub genitalia, their very swollen vulva, against each other, and they embrace, they French kiss, they appear to have an orgasm. And he says, I don't think that's sex. Well, if that's not categorized as sex, then I guess you throw out anything that females do together. And that's none of it sex. And maybe that is what he's coming down to, because the bonobos don't have a lot more sexual intercourse than common chimps, although they do have some more. They have a lot of these stroking, rubbing kind of sexual activities that this Dr. Homan doesn't consider sex.
Bill Clinton would agree with that.
Right.
Well, maybe Bill Clinton would agree with that. Right. But, you know, I would say that anything that involves the genitalia should be considered sex. He also makes a big, big deal about the bonobos killing
an antelope.
Food. Well, they kill. I guess they kill an antelope. Not actually in the article, but he refers to having seen some females killing and ripping apart a an antelope for food. Well, number one, when I first learned about bonobos, I never learned they were vegetarians. I heard that they eat mostly fruit and vegetables, but they occasionally eat meat. I didn't think that that, you know, I mean, humans also occasionally eat meat.
What's your fascination with these bonobos? I don't understand that. Could you explain
what
that?
What is my fascination? Well,
yeah, why is, I know you have a site with the bonobo site, and I was wondering, I had never heard of them before until you mentioned it, and then I saw the article in Wall Street. So I don't really understand.
Well,
where you're coming from in this.
Yes.
Primarily because one of the things, the issues, has been that a lot of human behavior has been based on common chimps.
Common chimps,
right.
And baboons. And gorillas.
But the
and bonobos are a recently discovered species. It's true that there's a lot of mysteries with regard to bonobos because we've only discovered them in 1930 and didn't really start studying them until the late 1970s. And, however, what they appear to be are primates who are very close to human. Just like common chimps, they are 98%+ genetically similar to humans. And they also have an interesting lifestyle in that they seem to have a lot of sexual activity, both in the wild and captivity. Though in captivity, they seem to have more sex because they have less to do and less
danger.
Danger. I mean, they have the kind of stress that you want to kind of masturbate or have sex to. And yet they do have quite a bit of sex in the wild. And they appear to use sexual activity to diffuse violent tension so that they're... This is why these bonobos are not as violent as common chimps and certainly not as humans. And this is why we've never seen them deliberately killing each other, except that one incident that I don't think, you know, would stand up in a court of law. And I think if anything, it could have been an accident. That's out of, you know, all these thousands and thousands of bonobos that scientists have been studying for thousands and thousands of hours. And what they tend to see are bonobos that might, you know, kind of get into a fight, and then they seem to resolve their problem through sexual interaction. And I find this both fascinating and inspiring.
And also very interesting, as this article was being written, actually, Lana, which is one of our bonobo friends in the San Diego
Zoo.
One of the feeders, the keepers of the bonobos, was working on a pregnant female who, by accident, actually, as he says, maybe I had my hand too far in there, bit off the tip of his finger. Okay, Lana, the other bonobo who was in the room, ran to get the finger.
And bring it back to
and
him.
And bring it back to the keeper.
So.
Well, that something similar happened in the Brookfield Zoo, if you remember, with the little child fell into the
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. Well, gorillas, I think that was a gorilla that did that.
Yeah.
It was a gorilla, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, all these primates can be amazingly close to human. And one thing that it does show us is that compassion is not just a quality of human beings. It's deeper than that. And I think that that's very inspiring because, we know that our violence is deeper than just being human because, of course, our animal ancestors are violent. But
The article says that they're equal parts dolphin, Dalai Lama, and Warren Beatty.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the guy trying to be a smartass. Ian Parker is trying to, you know, I mean...
My wife used to think I looked like Warren Beatty when I was younger.
Oh, well, you're a bonobo. I think that...
I think I'm a bonobo.
I don't know if you're a bonobo. You seem like you're interested in the bonobos. That's a good sign.
No, I'm interested in your show and interested. I come on your show all the time, so I was interested, you know, in telling you about the article. And I'm sure you're listening.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Of course, I've been steeped in this article for the past few days because not only am I in it, but a lot of friends of mine are in it, and a lot of their good work. Sally Cox, who's a bonobo conservation.
Your two pictures are featured here in the Wall Street. No, it's. I'm just joking.
Oh, yeah,
it's,
right.
It's two bonobos in the Wall Street.
Oh, yeah.
But you ought to get the New Yorker, if you go to their site, the blonde lady in the middle between the nun.
That's me.
And the Muslim, that's Susan.
Oh, I know what Susan looks like. I actually went to her website.
They have a picture, they have a caricature of me on the cover. Between a nun and a woman in a burqa.
Okay, not the burqa.
No, I'm the blonde in the sunglasses and the
thongs.
Well, you know who this is. You know who you're talking to, right?
Who is this?
Jesus.
Bong Hits.
Who?
Bong Hits. Hey.
Oh,
hi.
Bong Hits for Jesus. Okay, yeah. I should have known.
Yeah. Hi.
I like Jesus too.
Well, yeah.
Jesus.
I hear that lighter clicking.
I don't have a lighter.
Oh, no.
I don't smoke. No.
Well, now you sound better.
So one of the interesting things is that we found, and of course a lot of the liberal left kind of ignored and laughed over it, but the right-wing neocons love this story.
Oh, they love it. They
love,
love it
the story that these are violent. They, you know, they're like all over story. And, you know, what can I say? Please, if this was in a court of law, there would be no conviction of
everything. See, the Wall Street Journal starts out with a headline, Bonobo Apes Might Not Be Politically Correct After All. Well,
No. This one says bonobos' genteel qualities may be overstated.
Right.
Oh, maybe they changed it. They had before when it first came out. Bonobo apes might not be politically correct after all. And then another right-leaning blogger, Jack Rich, said, "Shades of Margaret Mead."
Right.
They're trying to say that somehow the quote-unquote left bank chimps aren't really very nice. And first of all, it's ridiculous. These are chimpanzees, and we're trying to learn about them. And second of all, the evidence, yikes, pull them down a little. The evidence that is cited in this article, well written as it is very, kind of shaky. But the right wingers refer to it as an official indictment of sexual freedom, women's rights, environmentalism, communitarianism, the peace movement, and liberal thinking in general, not to mention the bonobos themselves.
But these are the same people that knew that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. They knew that.
Of course.
Yeah. So, you know.
Well, it's funny. The article is the Inform Reader. That's the section. Insights in items of interest from other sources. It's Primates in New Yorker, July 30th.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I know which one. It says here on the Bonobo Apes Might Not Be Politically Correct After All, July 22nd. Mm. That's the title that I have. It's the Informed Reader piece by Robin Moroni, or Morani,
yeah,
I guess.
One of the interesting things I find is that the New Yorker actually named the piece Swinger. So,
Swingers.
Yeah, Swingers. So,
well, you know, I call them Swingers too, because they swing from the trees as well as with each other. But they called it Swingers because they wanted to attract the attention of people interested in sex. That's clear.
Yes.
And, you know, the Wall Street Journal is basically coming from, I mean, at least the blog, not their news reporting, but their blog is coming from a kind of a right-wing point of view, and they would like to say that, you know, that humans don't have any kissing cousins, that we don't have anybody close to us that's peaceful, that we have to that we must, that our destiny is war, and right. we've got to this is our destiny.
And I think that in large part, that this, for the right wing and for the neocons and for the warriors in this country, this justifies the war.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, because, of course, I and many others have referred to the bonobos as an example of primates that can use sexuality and pleasure to create peace among themselves. And just the hope of, you know, the war now has become what I call perma-war, perpetual war. And I think that people that support the war are getting into a mindset where they kind of have to convince themselves that war is human destiny.
And incidentally, as one of our science writers, in speaking to him, he said, you know, the polar bears are becoming cannibals.
Well, that's
because
another
of
thing.
Environmental...
It's because of the environmental problems.
Because
and
they have no food.
Environmental problems do affect animals. They do change animal behavior. And certainly with an animal like the bonobos, who are so close to human, they're going to be affected by the war that's going on around them. And I, you know, it's tragic in a way. But it doesn't change their character, it doesn't change their history. It's just that they've been going through a very tough time. I mean, when there were bonobos in the zoo in Germany, and the New Yorker piece does refer to this,
during the Allied bombing
of Germany, those bonobos
all died
of a heart attack. So basically, yeah. I feel, and this is, of course, I'm an amateur, I'm not a primatologist, but what I kind of believe is that a lot of bonobos have been killed, and that's not just a belief, that's a fact. A lot of them have been killed by hunters. I think a lot of the sensitive ones have probably died of heartbreaks or heart attacks, you know, overseeing their mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters being slaughtered. And probably the tougher ones have survived. And maybe there is a certain toughness that's being bred into bonobos by the fact that they're in a war-torn, ecologically devastated region where their food supply has been reduced drastically. They're being slaughtered by hunters.
They're being sold as food.
This is going to have an effect on them. And I don't think that that's taken into consideration, certainly in the Wall Street Journal synopsis here. And it's not, it's just kind of alluded to very matter-of-factly and quickly in the New Yorker piece. I think that that's a major factor, and it's...
If anything is going on, basically.
Well, I think that that's a factor in some of this behavior.
One of the things that they didn't talk about, they talked about this little antelope, but the bonobos have no hunting teams. They hang out in the trees and eat leaves, so they don't go hunting like chimps. They don't go to war like chimps. They don't eat their own children like chimps.
But they're very, very hungry, and, you know, an antelope is a high source of protein and energy.
Certainly if it comes through your house.
And he makes a big deal about the fact that when they did eat an antelope, they pulled it apart. But here's the thing. If you're a leopard, you don't have to pull apart your food. You can just eat it with your teeth. But bonobos' teeth are not that strong.
They
don't have knives and forks, and they don't have really strong teeth. So they have to use their hands to pull the... I mean, it sounds horrible, but to pull the animal apart to eat it. And that's eating for them. I don't think that that turns them into warlike creatures. I think that turns them into hungry creatures that are just trying to eat some meat here. And anyway, I think the article in the New Yorker is very complex and emphasizes things that that it doesn't really give full explanation for, and it kind of gives you a feeling that maybe there's been some horrible things going on in bonobo land, but no real evidence of that, no strong evidence of that. But because it gives that feeling, the right-wing publications, including the Wall Street Journal blog, have picked it up and run with it, and they're waving it like a flag for war is our destiny.
Right.
Okay.
So So that's
sorry to get you wound up. I just thought I'd let you know.
No,
you know, I've been wound up about this for a few days since Sunday night when the piece first came out on the New Yorker, and so you know it's a subject that's close to my heart, and I've put a lot of energy and money into communicating about the bonobos as well as helping to save them in the wild, and you know, I mean, I appreciate our free form of ideas that we have on the internet as well as in the media, but I also feel it's important to state the truth and to kind of give the other side. So I don't see any other bloggers on the internet so far giving this side, by the way, but I'm here.
Well, the liberal bloggers basically...
They don't know what to say.
You know, they just say this is what they said, you know.
The liberal bloggers have just reprinted it. They haven't commented on it. The right-wing bloggers have said, this means that...
I can kill people.
I can kill people. Basically, that's the meaning that they derive from the article.
So, there you have it.
So there you have it, Jesus.
Thank you.
So... You know, it's always the followers that screw everything up. You know, and if Jesus existed, he was a wonderful man. He was a man of peace. He was a man that turned the other cheek. He was a man that hung out with hookers and thieves. He was a man of the people. And, you know, even though I'm not a very religious man, I certainly respect that.
But, of course, in the name of Jesus, many wars have been fought. So now in the name of bonobos, it looks like they're going to try to fight some
right.
wars. They're actually going to do that. I mean, if they could do it to Jesus, why can't they do it to bonobos? You know, so bonobos have been bashed very hard this week. And they're such a sensitive species anyway. It's a little tough.
And we had a letter from Roberta. And, you know... When all of this is said and done, these are not evil creatures. And whether you support them or not, we have to save them. And we have to save the rainforest.
We have to save the rainforest. Well, and will we? That's the question. And, of course, at the end of the New Yorker piece, the primatologist just basically said, we won't. We will not save the rainforest. We will not save the bonobos. So, you know, that's his reason that he wants to study them very carefully right now, and certainly I appreciate that. He should be studying them very carefully right now, but it is kind of a real downer to end the article with, that's it. Pretty soon there won't be any bonobos, there won't be any rainforest, might as well give up.
And then
what he says at the end of this article is that they're not very nice to each other.
Well, they're not very nice. Let's see. Let me look at that here.
These primatologists, if you read...
Oh, now this is Franz de Waal, by the way, yeah. That's speaking here. He's the one that is criticized for saying that the bonobos are the make love, not war chimpanzee. But he says here, those who learn about bonobos fall too much in love. All of a sudden, here we have a politically correct primate, at which point I have to calm them down. Bonobos are not always nice to each other. Now, he has been saying this for years. They're not always nice to each other. They're not angels. That's what I put in my blog that came out today. Bonobos are not angels.
They're primates.
They're primates. They are chimpanzees. And... So they're not all. Of course, they're not always nice to each other. They're just remarkably nice to each other very often.
Well, the interesting part is that if you read the New Yorker piece, they're all tearing each other apart.
Do you think Michael Jackson had a bonobo?
I think he did. I actually do.
Did he really?
I think also that Johnny Carson, when he had the chimpanzees on his show, he had bonobos.
Bonobos, yeah.
We didn't really know what they were for a while. I mean, well, primatologists knew, but most people didn't know.
Thought they were monkeys or something.
But bonobos are very... I mean, common chimps are also very intelligent. Common chimps tend to be better with, creating tools and banding together to make war and organizing themselves in... in a more or less political manner. Bonobos tend to be more sensitive. Their intelligence is in sensitivity, which is why when it was not politically incorrect to have your trained chimps on your show, you know, people would often use bonobos because they were so sensitive and they were very agreeable, have a very kind of agreeable personality compared with common chimps.
I think my border collie is a bonobo.
Well, you know, I mean, one of the things that studying the bonobos put me in touch with is just that, yes, this feeling of compassion and empathy that often humans claim as their own is really something that goes through many species. It's very intense in bonobos. Their sense of empathy and compassion is very, very strong. And it's also in dogs and pigs and a lot of other animals. Maybe not as strong and maybe not as kind of communicative, but there is empathy in all different animals.
But anyway, we're not the wimpy, we're not wimpy left wingers, so we're going to hit them right back, and we did. And we are waiting for the writings of Homan to see what else he can tell us about these creatures. And but you know, he's only written.
Now, one thing that he makes a big deal about, that the guy that studied the bonobos in the wild
right.
before him was Takeyoshi Kano. He was a Japanese primatologist with a very different personality than Homan, a very kind of charming and docile kind of personality. I think a little more bonobo-like than Homan. But anyway, his way of studying the bonobos was to plant a field of sugar cane in the wild so the bonobos would come out of the trees and eat the sugar cane and then kind of hang out in front of him and his fellow researchers, which they did. And when they would hang out in front of him, they would have lots of sex because bonobos tend to combine food and sex. So they would be hanging out and eating sugar cane and trading it back and forth and having all different kinds of sex and just basically being rather jolly. And he studied them for many, many years. And by the way, it was from him that I heard that they were not vegetarians, that they usually just ate fruits and vegetables,
but once in a while they would eat a little animal
that might come across their territory.
Because remember, they live in the trees, literally. So it's not like they're aggressively hunting, but hey, if a nice piece of meat
comes along. And they're obviously not built to chase these antelopes.
Mostly
the
antelopes don't catch them.
Run too fast.
Right.
but occasionally they can catch them. And I guess they're, as I said, I think that because of what they've been through for the past 15 years, they've probably only the strongest bonobos have survived. And they're maybe they are
Absolutely.
More aggressive than the other ones. But the other point is that Gottfried Homan said, well, if you feed the bonobos, then you're influencing them too much. So I'm not going to feed them. So he doesn't feed them, which, okay, it's another way of studying them. But the point is that if you're not going to feed them, they're not going to hang out in front of you very much. They're certainly not going to have sex in front of you very much.
On the other hand, we feed the dolphins in captivity.
Yeah, but these are not in captivity. He has his point. This is the way he wants to study bonobos, is by
fine.
Not feeding them. He basically looks around for them in the jungle, then he sees them, and he watches them,
right.
And as soon as they see him, they run away. And so he only has a few seconds, maybe a couple minutes at the most, to observe them, whereas Takeyoshi Kano got to observe them for what seems like hours and hours at any given time because they were hanging out in the field and they were eating the sugar cane, and there's many pictures of them, video of them having sex, doing what looks like yoga exercises.
One of the things that we do here, Jesus, is we're pretty much a socialist, communistic community, and we all live together. We don't have to... nobody goes home. They live here, so we get to see each other in a real world of what we're actually like. It's not like somebody comes in here and acts properly for 8 hours. Okay, we see them and we see each other for 24 hours a day. And basically, that's what the Japanese guy was doing. He was, in essence, living with them and feeding them.
Yeah, so he got to see them in all different ways.
In all different forms.
And right? Homan has a different style, which is you don't feed them. You just find them where they're at. So, number one, they're not going to feel as comfortable with the humans because the humans aren't giving them any food. So, and not to mention the fact that there are hundreds of other humans out there in the jungle who are shooting at them.
Right.
So why are they going to be friendly with these humans that are just kind of
and the other
walking
thing,
around after them?
The other thing.
The other thing is that when they're being fed, they don't need as much food. They're not hungry. So they're obviously not going to go after these animals that much. But
you should have tried giving him a little bit of marijuana and saw what happened.
Well, you know, that's interesting because one of our friends, Sally Cox of the Bonobo Conservation Initiative, she thinks that bonobos, I don't know, she's sort of half joking about this, but she thinks they might have discovered
that they were the first marijuana smokers.
Well, why not?
Well, that, you know, I mean, I guess, I don't know how.
I've come up with a new Skype name, too. I'm going to go by. The next time I'm on, I'll be
Bonobo.
Sunny Bonobo.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you
be
go.
Sunny Bonobo. Yeah.
Listen,
I have a stuffed animal named Sunny Bonobo.
We have faith in him, and we've studied all the studies. There's been hundreds of people out there, not only the primatologists, but also the kids that volunteered, and nothing has come out. The only events they came up with was from several years ago. We know they're not vegetarians, that if a nice piece of meat comes walking through the house, hey, why not? Fair game. So, you know, but I think that the right wing wants to use this basically as an excuse, as a way of saying, listen,
ha, 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 see, we are warlike creatures. All of our primate cousins are also warlike creatures.
And it's kind of funny that they pick on the bonobos and say, see, even the bonobos do this. So,
well, they're picking on it because of the New Yorker article. They don't usually like to talk about bonobos at all.
Right, but the New Yorker, the Wall Street Journal is has, you know, called you Saddam's sex
right,
therapist.
Right, that blog has always been after me, the Wall Street Journal. You know,
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, they called me Saddam's sex therapist because I was against the invasion of Iraq. So, you know, they're not exactly peace-loving bloggers there on the Wall Street Journal.
We're talking about oil men and capitalists capitalists with no control. And, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting you should say that because I used to have to deal with the New York Times in Hyde Park.
Really?
And the Wall Street didn't sell Hyde Park, Chicago.
Huh.
Yeah, and the Wall Street never sold, but the New York Times sold all the time. It's interesting.
Yeah. So, you know.
Because of the politics of the paper, right?
Well, the politics of the Wall Street Journal are pretty strongly right-wing, I think. I mean, their reporting can be pretty objective, and they do get into some good investigative reporting. But I think that all their opinion stuff is very conservative. And, hey, you know, that's fine. I understand that, and I don't have a problem with that. I guess I do have a problem with misleading the public about bonobos, especially at such a critical time when we need to save them from imminent extinction and when we have a chance to save them. I mean, it seems like there are a few thousand of them left. And, I mean, I say even if they have become traumatized and violent, we should still
save them.
Just because they're an important species that's very close to us.
Just
but
like,
I don't think they've become that violent.
And let me just add this. Just like we should save one of our soldiers who's been critically injured in the field in Iraq.
Right. So there you have it, Jesus. Thank you for bringing up the subject. Even though it kind of hurts me to talk about it, it's good for me to talk about
sorry,
it.
No.
You know what? It's you're a sympathetic guy. I have to talk to more right wing guys about this.
Yeah,
so,
I wish
you know,
they
you're
won't call
giving
us,
me a little exercise here, just in case somebody starts beating me up over bonobos now.
I have a tendency to sit on both sides, you know, straddle the fence, so I can't.
Well,
tell
let
you
me
where, which way.
Let me tell
okay,
you. Let me tell you one more thing about Homan. What's his first name?
Gottfried.
Gottfried. Gottfried is a tall German guy, all right? And Gottfried, and the journalist writes this, goes to...
Well, they have a... There's a dispute in the village.
There's a dispute in the village.
About how much the Max Planck Institute, which supports Gottfried, is paying them in terms of this roofing.
Yeah, they gave him some
tin
roofs.
They gave him some roofing in order to tell, you know, so they would stop hunting.
Right.
Because they're hunting the bonobos, and they don't want them to hunt the bonobos. Not so much because they're conservationists as because they want to study them.
Right.
But let's just say whatever reason they're getting them to stop hunting bonobos
is good.
So listen
to this.
But anyway, they're having an argument, so Gottfried comes into it, and he starts yelling at them in Congolese, and, you know, props to him for being able to speak Congolese. And he wags his finger in one of their faces and just, like, really threatens him, and then later says, it's good to let them remember how
short they are
every once in a while. So, you know, the guy is not exactly
a bonobo.
A peaceful sort of guy. But anyway.
Well, German.
Well, I wouldn't blame the Germans.
I don't want to blame all the Germans.
No,
you know?
We love Germans. There's a lot of wonderful German people, a lot of peaceful German people. But this particular guy seems like he likes to throw his physical weight around in a verbal argument. So, you know,
but
I
will tell you a story. Because I'm 63 years old, I will tell you a story from the war. There was a German friend of ours, and somebody, and his wife got pregnant. So they gave him a baby carriage that he had to assemble. Okay? So he took the baby carriage to the garage, and then he came out with a tank.
There you go.
So...
Maybe he needed it.
Not that we're trying to bash Germans.
No,
no,
absolutely
we love
not.
Germans.
I have some genetic.
One of our best friends are German. You're part German.
Yeah, right? I have.
Actually, I'm part German too.
Yeah, so we can talk about Germans.
We
no
can.
Problem.
Anyway, Jesus, thank you
so much.
I'm going to move you back down into
great
listening.
Discussion.
But bonobos forever. That's what I have to say. Peace through pleasure. Bonobos
peace.
Forever.
And always peace.
Okay, we have Parwitz.
Parwitz.
Parwitz. Hello.
Hello, Parwitz.
Hello, Susan. How you doing?
Very well.
Hey,
how
Susan.
Are you?
How you doing?
Very good. What's going on with you?
I'm very, very good. I'm very happy to get connected with you.
Well, I'm happy to talk with you.
Me too. I have a few questions need to ask from you. I just wrote it down here.
Okay. What's your question? What's your first question?
The first question is about the masturbation.
Yes.
It's very important to be asked is that what do you think if someone masturbate, you think that will not destroy someone's brain or mind, that will not have a bad effect on his mind. As an example, if I watch a porn movie, then after that I masturbate, what do you think that will have not a bad effect in my brain? Because I did that like 3 or 4 times, but I became very weak and feel not very well. If you could please give me information about that, then after
okay.
I will ask you some
where
you, other
okay. Where
questions.
Are you calling from?
Where are you calling from?
I'm from Afghanistan.
Oh, okay. Welcome, Afghanistan. What part of Afghanistan? One of my favorite countries.
I'm talking to you from Balkh province, Mazar City.
Mazar-e-Sharif, beautiful city. I love Mazar-e-Sharif.
That's Mazar-e-Sharif. Exactly.
Yes, we've had some other callers, including Hamad from Mazar-e-Sharif.
Yes,
anyway.
I remembered that there was a guy from Mazar-e-Sharif, he was talking to you, but I was at that time I was just listening to the conversation that you had with the guys.
Yeah.
So today, then I really wanted to talk to you.
Okay. Well, let's talk about masturbation. First of all, it doesn't kill any
yes.
brain cells. It's not going to hurt your brain in any way. It's true that after you masturbate, after you ejaculate, you often feel tired. You want to go to sleep. That's one of the beautiful things about masturbation. It helps you to go to sleep sometimes when it's better than a sleeping pill. Of course it drains you. You're ejaculating your semen and a woman also is drained after a few orgasms or maybe even one orgasm. It's a very intense physical and sometimes emotional experience. So it's normal to be tired afterwards, but that doesn't mean that it's harming you any more than doing a half an hour's worth of exercise is going to harm you. Even though you're tired after you run around the block a few times, you're going to be tired. But in fact, it makes you stronger to do that. And in a way, it's the same with masturbation. If you don't ejaculate at all, which I don't think any young man is capable of not ejaculating at all, but if you ejaculate very, very little, then you're going to be weaker in the sex department. You're going to have less control over your erections. You're going to usually, if you have sex with someone, have to ejaculate right away. That is what we often call premature ejaculation. And you're just going to be less familiar with your body. Your pelvis, your penis will be weaker because you haven't exercised it. Now, of course, there is such thing as too much masturbation. If you're masturbating so much that you can't work, or if you masturbate instead of having sex with your wife or your lover, then there's a problem there. If you're looking at porn, 6 hours a day, there's a problem there. If you're doing it instead of studying, that's bad for you. But if you do it, once, twice, maybe even 3 times a day, although 3 times might be getting a little much, it depends on your age. But if you do it once or twice a day or once every other day, I don't see anything wrong with it, especially if you're single. If you're in a relationship and you masturbate and look at porn instead of being with your wife, then that's a problem. There is one other problem with looking at a lot of porn, is you can get a kind of unrealistic view of sex and women from looking at too much porn. On the other hand, if you never see people engaging in sex, you probably have an unrealistic view of sex for that reason too. I mean, in our society, in your society, maybe even more than ours, but in most societies around the world, there is not an opportunity to look at people having sex. So we don't really know what sex is supposed to be like. So we look at porn and we think, this is what it is. And you might get an unrealistic view. You might see women with huge breasts, with implants. You see guys that are going at it like a jackhammer. And that's kind of unrealistic. So that's important to keep in mind. I'm sorry not to give you a black and white yes or no answer, but it's not as though masturbation is all good or all bad. It's kind of like bonobos. They're not. It's not like the wonder activity, masturbation, but it's also not a terrible thing that you shouldn't do. It's something that you should do in moderation.
Yeah, that's right. But that was important for me. That was important for me to know about that because. Lots of guys, they have the problem, and
well, I can imagine. I mean, guys...
They have that problem. Yeah. It's important to know about the side effect of the masturbation, because maybe this could be wrong to say that the masturbation is not good for the health. Sometimes you masturbate rather than have a sex with someone.
Well, I don't think that it's not good for your health. In fact, you're never going to catch a disease from yourself.
Right.
Masturbation is safe sex.
And now, it can also prevent cancer.
And yes, if you don't exercise your prostate every once in a while, if you're not having sex with a woman or with anyone, then it's important to masturbate, or else your prostate can swell up and atrophy, and that's not good for you. So it's important to have some form of sex every once in a while. And if you can't have sex with a partner, masturbate. On the other hand, if you
abuse
it, if you're a young single guy and you have opportunities to go out and meet women and you'd rather not do that, you just stay with your computer looking at porn, masturbating for, you know, hours and hours and hours, then that's not good for you. That's not good for you socially. But I will say this, it doesn't hurt anybody else. There are so many activities that young people can be involved in that hurt others, and masturbation, at least if it's going to hurt anybody, it's only going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt anybody else.
Thank you very much, Susan. My other question is about, that's going to be a little bit, quite a different question.
Okay.
Is about the shemale.
Yes.
I want to ask about that.
The shemale.
That's quite surprised me and a few other guys that they have the same penis as the men have, while their body is like women. They have a breast, like they have hair, they're nice looking.
Yeah.
But they have a penis, they're able to fuck, they're ejaculating.
Yes.
All kind of stuff.
Yes, it's really quite remarkable.
The one thing is, are they productive or whether or not? But I would like to get information about the shemales.
Okay.
Because some people think that they're not able to ejaculate or having a sex with a woman. While,
first of all,
I watched a porn movie while they were able even to ejaculate or have a sex with a woman.
There are different kinds of shemales. It's a complex sexual world we live in. Yes, it is. There are different types. Let's first talk about the most rare type, which is the type that is born in nature that way. There are actually a few individuals in the world, and there have been since the dawn of humanity. It's probably even pre-human. There's probably animals in which they have characteristics of both sexes. And in ancient Greece, I think, they came up with the name hermaphrodite. Actually, it's a combination of Hermes and Aphrodite, the combination of the god of speed, a male, and the god of love, a female. And this would be an individual who would have genitalia from both sexes. And usually, this kind of individual that's born in nature cannot ejaculate. I guess there might be exceptions, but that's usually the case. But there's hardly anybody like that. There's a few people that are like that. Then there are people, let's say men, who are born with a penis, and they're born with all the characteristics of a man, except physically. But mentally and emotionally, they feel like a woman. They want to be a woman. And they might take certain steps to become more of a woman. And some of them take all the steps to the point where they have their penis removed, they have a vagina created, they take hormones, they have surgery to become pretty much, for all intents and purposes, a physical woman and an emotional woman. And these are post-op transsexuals.
These are like full transsexuals, like one of our attorneys.
Deborah is like that. She has a vagina. She has breasts. She has everything. Now, I'm going to tell you about it. Let me just.
Yes. You're right.
Those are the two extremes.
You're right. They have the breast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, then there are also there are some shemales that do not take hormones. They simply get a breast augmentation surgery so that they have large breasts. They might be rather feminine anyway to begin with, maybe have smooth skin, maybe look feminine, but they don't take hormones, so their penis works just fine. Their penis can ejaculate, get erections, and these are the shemales that you often see on the internet in porn. There are other shemales that maybe don't take don't get the surgery where they get their penis removed, but they do take hormones, so they have breasts, but their penis doesn't get erections usually unless they stop taking the hormones and doesn't ejaculate usually, although they can have orgasms. But I think the ones that you're seeing are the ones that get breast enlargements. They have big breasts. They wear makeup. They do their hair. They wear the outfits. They shave their legs. They shave their whole body. And still they have a penis. And they can have intercourse. They can have all kinds of sex and ejaculate. So there you have it.
Yes, that's right. Because I had once I had a chance to look at all these kind of shemales on the internet, some completely got surprised me about that they have all kind of, like, they have a breast and they have, they're physically like a female, so, and they were even able to
they're very sexy.
A lot of men.
That was quite surprised me. So therefore, I'm asking this question to give me information about that.
Yes. It's true. And a lot of men are very, very.
I understand that.
A lot of men are very excited by them because they have an interest in a penis, but they don't really want to be with a man. And they love the fact that
they really want to get fat. Yeah. Right.
Yes. So they love the fact that these shemales are beautiful. They look just like women, and they have breasts. They have beautiful
faces.
Exactly. Very feminine, and yet they have that penis. And some guys, they're just fascinated by this because it's a turn on for some people. So there you have it.
That's
masturbation,
right.
And shemales. So, educating Afghanistan.
Okay,
and
so
the other question is about the woman, about the women ejaculation.
Ah, yes.
Because the men there, when they ejaculate, we see their sperm or semen. But the women, I want to ask about, are the women ejaculated or whether or not, are they ejaculated like a man or whatever? I just want to know about the women ejaculation.
That's a good question, too. Women can ejaculate. They do not ejaculate semen. Women do not have semen. We do not have sperm. We do have fluid inside of us. We have, I mean... It's kind of a water. Female ejaculate is got a little bit of urine in it, but it's not mainly urine. Urine is different. It does come out of the urethra.
Yes.
But it's what the Hindus call amrita, and it's what we call ejaculate. Female ejaculate. It's clear. It's a little kind of thicker in its consistency than urine. But it's not as thick as semen, and many women do ejaculate quite a lot these days. It's kind of a popular sexual activity these days. I think women have been able to do it ever since there have been women, but lately it's almost a fad. It's very popular. I think every woman can do it, but I don't think that every woman wants to do it.
And can I ask him a question?
Go ahead.
You speak English so well.
Are you also an English teacher or a translator?
No, actually, I'm not an English teacher. It's hard to be an English teacher.
But you speak so well.
I'm not an interpreter. I'm not an interpreter or an English teacher. So
how did you learn
English? One of the English course. I'm able to speak German and French as well.
Wow!
Beside my English.
And how did you do that? Did you learn it by yourself or?
I did not learn it by myself, actually. When I was in university, I was just able to learn the German and French in the Kabul University. So,
wow.
Yeah, wow, very good for you. And what are you a student
and
or
I'm,
what kind of work
I'm
do you
used do? To be, and I was graduated from a law faculty, and I'm working as a prosecutor.
Oh, wow. Wow, interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I like what you say.
Working on an indictment, charging letters, and this kind of stuff, lawsuit, court process.
Wow,
lawyer, an Afghan lawyer. Fantastic. I like what you say about me on your profile in Skype. It says here, in favor of reality.
Yeah.
which not everyone is these days. So
no,
I appreciate that.
And it's wonderful to see. It's the first time in history of humankind that even though some of us can't travel physically across borders, we can now travel through our voices, through our thoughts, and we find it extraordinary to reach out and try to learn about other cultures, try to find out what reality is really about. And it's really about people and wonderful people.
It seems like there's a lot of people that speak excellent English in Mazar-e-Sharif.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable.
Maybe three or four in the
God
past
willing.
Week.
Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. And I wish we could speak your language. But we're learning.
Oh, Dari. You know, we speak Dari, we call it Persian, but it's different with the Iranian Persian.
Mm-hmm.
But it is easy to learn that.
It's easy. It's easy for you to say.
Yeah, it's easy now.
Not easy for me. But
yeah.
I'm glad you speak English. Teach us something in Persian.
So,
yeah. Say something in Persian for us.
Hello.
Hello.
But I want to know, like, tell the word in English, I will tell you that. Dari or Persian.
Hello, let us have peace in the world.
Salam. We call it salam.
Okay, everybody says salam.
Yeah, in Italy we say salami too.
Nah.
Yeah, this isn't a common word. It's a common word.
Right.
In all over, this is like Arabic word that everyone knows that. But in Persian, like we say, how are you, like say. Chitor asti. Yes, chitor asti.
All right. Well, yeah. Chitor asti.
Yes. Very well.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
Your pronunciation or accent is excellent. You pronounce it in a very right way, though.
Oh, well, thank you. How do you say thank you?
Tashakur.
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 No.
Yes. Oh,
tashakur.
Very well. Very well.
Hey.
All right, we're learning.
You know what it is in Jewish?
Thank you.
Tushakur.
No.
It's Tushikur.
Tushikur. No. Actually, it's Tadar Rabba.
Pretty good.
All right. Parwitz, it's a pleasure to speak
wonderful
with you.
Wonderful talking
Tashikor,
to you.
Tashikor.
Yeah.
And
me too.
Salam.
It's a great pleasure to have a chance to talk to you. If I have any question, then I will
come back. Come back just to say hello.
And let me just say this
to
you.
We'd like to keep in touch with you.
Salam.
Salam.
Yeah.
Peace.
Right. Peace. We're moving him down into listening.
That was great.
Yep. And
I just find it so exciting to be able to talk to people from other cultures. It's so exciting.
Yes, it is. It's really quite remarkable.
We're so much the same.
Okay, so here's someone from another culture, Jerry Earlywine. Hi, Jerry.
Yes,
Jerry. How's the wine? The new wine.
Oh, I don't know. I don't drink too much wine.
Okay. So what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, let's see.
You put yourself in the waiting room.
Long time?
I have a few minutes.
Because I have so much on my mind.
What's going on down there? You're in San Diego, huh?
Yeah, I'm telling you, besides my... Well, do you want me to get into all the horrible things my mother did to me, or...
Right, they stole your house.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You've gone into that before, Jerry, so... Has anything improved?
Okay, well, I've got more...
More horror stories about how you've been mistreated?
Oh, please. I mean, you guys only got the... You got the... I mean, the starting. You just got the... just the first act.
Okay. Well, give us the second act in a nutshell, because we have some other people waiting, but we'd love to know what's going on with you. Just tell us something. No?
Well, you know...
Or maybe you should think about it, and I'll put you back into listening, and then when you have something to say,
yeah,
I'll put you back up. All right? I'm going to put you back into listening now.
Like, no,
gather your thoughts, okay? And then you can put yourself back into waiting. Please gather your thoughts, okay? We do want to talk with you, but you should have something to talk about when you get on into talking. And now we have Biggie Mike. Biggie Mike. Oh, Biggie Mike decided he did not know what he wanted to talk about, so he left. Well, that's true. I'm sorry that I don't want you to just get on the line here and just kind of try to figure out what to talk about. That's my job, okay, to try to figure out what to talk about. Okay, Jerry Earlywine now put himself back into waiting. So what do you want to talk about, Jerry?
Well, just like the other day when, you know, this guy came over here, and even though he's been letting his chick sit here.
Here being your house? This is your place?
Yeah.
He's been letting his chickens sit here. A chick? A girl or chickens? What was that?
Chickens.
Chickens. A chicken.
Yeah.
An actual bark, bark, bark chicken.
Chickens. I mean, is my microphone not working right here?
Well, there's a little, difficulty with hearing everybody tonight. But anyway, so what did he do with the chicken? What happened with the chicken?
Well, I was told by my friend and him, he said, give away the chickens.
Give away the chickens. Okay.
Then when I gave away the chickens, then this guy freaked out. And then he had the police over here and everything.
Oh, the police.
And I was just going, hey, you know, I was going, fuck you, piece of crap.
Jerry, you didn't talk like that to the police, did you?
No, but actually the police said, they were telling me, he's probably in more trouble than I am.
Okay.
Because, you know, he was drunk or on drugs or something when he came over.
So even though you don't drink, you hang around with people that do.
Yeah, but see, I'm drunk on my own property.
Oh, you do drink. I thought there were you would with a name like Earlywine, but then you said you don't. Oh, you don't drink wine. You drink whiskey.
No, I drink hard liquor.
Oh, okay. Why don't you call yourself Jerry Jim Beam?
Okay.
Well, I don't know. That's not my legal name.
Oh, okay. Oh, your legal name is Earlywine. Okay. Well, Jerry, you know, it sounds like you're basically in the same shape you were when you talked to us before, with all these people that are just harassing you. And I hope somewhere you find your bliss.
No.
All right, I'm
going
to move you down into listening, darling. Okay, good luck to you. Take care of yourself.
Honey, I haven't told you the big one.
The big one.
Okay, tell the big one.
Tell the big one.
Oh, that's right. I even forgot to tell you about the big one. You know, after I'd been... You know, finally getting a home business going, by making, you know, websites for people.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Okay. You make websites for people. That's
yes.
impressive.
And then I went to the bank one day to cash Bunny's checks, and
it bounced.
I was arrested.
You were arrested at the bank. Why?
Yeah. They said it was a fraudulent check.
Really? Well,
yeah.
They let you out.
$1,000 bail.
You had $1,000 bail, really?
$100,000. Yes.
Whoa.
And I'm going, I didn't do any goddamn thing wrong. Somebody sent me this.
You better get yourself a lawyer, darling. You got a good lawyer? You got to get yourself a good lawyer. It sounds like you got a difficult
Always
situation.
Always have a good
there.
Lawyer.
You know,
okay.
When you're doing business on your own, it's possible that people will pass bad checks, and you know, it happens.
All right.
All right.
So that's a big one.
Take care of yourself.
You take care of yourself and call us back.
We'll come to San Diego visit you someday. Okay. Bye bye. All right. You are listening to the Dr. Susan Block Show on Radio Suzy One. On the World Wide Web, Worldwide Revolution, Worldwide Sexual Revelation. And you can talk to me about any aspect of sex, love, life, or death. My telephone number, if you're in North America, is 1-866-289-7068. If you're listening on Radio Suzy One on drsusanblock.com. And if you're anywhere in the world, you can always call me at 213-749-1330. And if you're in Skype and you'd like to talk with me, you can put yourself into the waiting room, and then I will put you into the talking area. You can ask a question, tell a story, share a fantasy, explore a fetish, make a prayer, protest, make a comment. You can do a lot of different things here. You can talk about just about anything you want. Sometimes we have special guests on the show, and sometimes it's just open phones. Tonight we've been talking about bonobos, masturbation, she-males, female ejaculation, and bad checks. All different subjects. So, well, what's on your mind tonight, Brother Dave?
I am always, always so impressed by this technology.
You're impressed by Jerry Erlewine?
Just the technology.
Okay.
And the people. I'm always impressed by the people. Meaning that I'm so thrilled to be able to travel to Afghanistan.
Yes, Parwiz was very impressive.
Yeah.
He's a lawyer.
Or Italy.
Too bad he's not in San Diego. He might be, although he's a prosecutor.
He's on the
other side. He couldn't help Jerry. He's prosecuting guys like Jerry.
Most prosecutors become defense lawyers.
At some point.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
a lot of them
enough
do.
Prosecution.
Except Rudy Giuliani. He became a mayor, and now he's trying to be president.
Yeah, he's trying to be president.
And, of course, John Kerry, he was a prosecutor.
Oh, yeah,
right. Now he's a senator. A lot of them become politicians.
Right. They're all very, once they switch, they're all very compassionate. After they've put
if all... If they switch to defense. But if they don't switch and they just become politicians, I don't know of how compassionate
well,
they are.
Well, Jerry Brown is the head
oh,
prosecutor.
Oh, Jerry Brown was a prosecutor, yeah.
He is.
Oh, he is now,
he's the
yeah.
state attorney general.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Moonbeam.
General Moonbeam.
Yeah. So, I'm just very impressed by the technology. And I'm very impressed, not so much about the technology, but the stories that the technology allows people to tell. It's very much like, you know, I was talking to Afghanistan earlier. It's like talking to a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
In their country.
It gets you very close.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So we're almost out of time here.
We have people in the room from all over the world.
Yeah.
I wish one of them would just get into the waiting room if they want to talk. And on the other hand, if you don't want to talk.
You have 10 minutes left.
We have people from China, Afghanistan, Australia, Sweden.
This is a revolution.
Istanbul.
Istanbul. Yeah, they had some major elections there.
There's a gentleman named Ozen who wants to have moral conversation.
Moral, okay.
Moral conversation.
That sounds
That's
good.
That's what we like to do. But he's not in waiting. He's in listening. Ozen, would you like to have a moral conversation? I want to know what that means. Put yourself into the waiting room if you want to have a moral conversation in our last few minutes of the Dr. Susan Block Show. And by the way, if you don't want to talk, but you just want to explore more of what we're about, check out our website at drsusanblock.com. That's drsusanblock.com. If you want to read about the bonobos, they're right on the blog. And if you want to read about female ejaculation, you just go to Squirt, which is right on the front page. All other kinds of sex questions, fantasies, all kinds of possibilities are at drsusanblock.com if you'd like to check it out. So,
Doctor, how exciting is it, huh?
Exciting?
Yeah, oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm a little tired myself.
Great show.
Yeah.
But we're going to wind down now. Did I say wind down or wine?
Wine, early wind down.
Early wind down. I want to say this.
Yes.
I want to thank everyone that participated tonight for allowing us in your home. And we got there not with tanks and bullets and rifles, but we got there with words, the most powerful weapons that humanity knows. Words are the most powerful weapons.
Weapons of mass seduction.
Or words of mass discussion.
Yeah.
And I'm an old guy, so I'm really thrilled that for the first time on American radio, we can reach out all over the world. And I'm excited that everyone has their own radio show.
Well, really, everyone does.
Yeah. And that's the most exciting thing, because it is about talking to each other across the fence as neighbors. It's not about violence anymore. We have to stop the violence.
Reach out and understand each other.
Yeah, and understand each other, because ultimately, we have the same needs, to be hugged, to be mothered, not to be smothered.
And ultimately, human beings need each other. We are social creatures.
We are social creatures. We live on the same rock. It's just a rock. And spinning through space, we have no idea.
That's why the worst punishment when you're in prison is solitary confinement. Because we really don't like being alone. We need each other.
We need each other. And we need each other from all over the world. We need each other's food, which is wonderful.
Yeah, we need each other's products.
We need each other's
products. We need each other's music.
We need the music, which are the music are the storytellers of the future and what's going to happen to us. And we need the planet Earth, our mother. That's what feeds us. Now, you know, God is great.
God is great.
God
we
is
have
great.
Someone from Aruba here.
Aruba.
Aruba?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Hello, Aruba.
No, he's not in the waiting. I just just looking at people that are in the listening.
Come on, somebody step up.
Step up to the waiting
close
room.
Close the show. Tell us, give us a
just
story.
Tell us about yourself. We are sex therapists. That's my day job as a sex therapist. So we talk about sex, but we talk about all different aspects of life,
That's
love.
My night job. Last night, I had the greatest time in my life.
You had sex?
I had sex. I had sex with a sweet, beautiful angel.
Aww.
A peaceful angel. She tasted so good.
Mmm.
So delicious. And so let us put away the boogeymen and the gods that are warrior gods. And
let us honor the sex gods.
The sex gods.
And the peace gods.
Right.
The communication gods, the gods that bring us together.
And let's stop killing the Afghanis. Let's stop killing each other. We're humans. We have a bigger brain than any chimp has. And we can't learn to bring peace into our hearts.
Now, I'm not sure if Deutschland meant to put himself into waiting, but he did. Hello, Deutschland.
Hey. Hi, good morning. How are you?
Guten Morgen.
Good morning. It's good.
Good morning. So, how are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
Very well. We've just got a few more minutes, so what's going on with you there in Deutschland?
It's okay. It's a little bit bad weather. It's not sunshine.
So your profile, do you mind if I read your profile? Where it
yes,
says about
of course.
Me? It says, only serious discussion.
You can read my profile, of course.
It says, only serious discussion. No talk about sex or marriage. How would talk with me should be first educated and polite. I prefer to talk about business, technology, politics, sport, history. Well, we like to talk about all that. But I am a sex therapist. That's my business. So what am I going to do? But I don't have to talk to you about sex. If you have something else you'd like to talk about. I also like to talk about politics and business and
the weather. It is matter if you talk about sex. It is your matter.
It doesn't matter if we talk about sex?
No.
I thought it said you don't want to talk about sex.
No, I mean, it is your matter if you like to talk about sex with other people. Because it's very often, it's very, very, I can't understand. Everybody likes to talk about sex in this case. Everybody, not this case. Generally, I'm talking as here, as an Arab world, from Asia. Everybody likes
to talk about sex. A lot of people like to talk about sex. Sex makes the world go round.
I am tired about this subject, and I'm not the matter to talk about sex because I don't like it. Sex is private things for each of us, even he's with wife or even he's with girlfriend. But I don't know what. I think sex, it is very private and very personalistic things. It is why I don't like to talk about sex.
And where
if
are you?
Another subject now, it's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for this time. I wish you all the best.
Okay, all the best to you.
Thank you.
All right, so bye-bye.
He's not originally from Germany.
No. He's from somewhere else. Yeah. You could tell he didn't have a strong German accent or some other kind of accent. Hello, Dida? Dida?
Yes.
Hello, Dida. Dida is calling from the Philippines.
Come in, Dida.
How's the weather in the Philippines? Carlo. Oh, no, now his name is Carlone. I just viewed his profile, and now his name is Carlone. You get Carlones to people in the Philippines? Is that it? We can't really hear you, darling, so I'm going to have to put you back into listening because you've got too much Skypiness.
Look at it. Who are these people? Look at
this. Who are these people?
Hi. How you doing?
Oh, hello there. There's some interesting people that have walked through the studio right now. I can barely see them.
My headsets are falling off.
But they look very pleasant.
Dwyer.
Hi, Dwyer. I haven't seen you in a while. Hey, Dwyer. Hey, Mavis. How's it going? Oh, you did. You got the Marion Librarian email? Very good. Okay, well, so, are you bringing back your library books? Do you have them?
Another week?
I thought you were leaving soon, though.
Before I leave.
Oh, okay. You told me you were going to be gone. You're not going to be here for our Midsummer Night's Wet Dream. Yeah, that's on August 4th.
Dwyer.
Are you going to be here? Dwyer, you got to be here.
You
got to dress up as a fairy.
You look so hot, baby.
Yeah, well, you know, but this is...
I got three of the most beautiful women in the studio and one Texan, you know? I mean...
And who's... And have I met you?
I'm Tasha.
Hi, Tasha. Tasha? Very nice to meet Tasha.
She's from Azerbaijan.
Where... You're from Azerbaijan?
Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan. That's where Texans go for oil.
That's where Texans go for oil. I'm repeating because people can't hear this here. Texans go to Azerbaijan for oil because they don't have enough anymore. They've just drilled and drilled, and now they have to go into your fields. How do you feel about that?
Complicated.
Yeah. That's
The only thing worse than being exploited by a multinational corporation is not being exploited by a multinational corporation.
Rise up against the capitalists.
I feel pretty good about not being exploited too much by multinational corporations, but I like to be exploited by my friends. Although I do live in a sweatshop. The GG rubbing thing. Did you read the New Yorker? And my thing?
Yeah, did you read that?
The GG rubbing thing, yeah. How could they say GG rubbing is not sex? GG rubbing
come
is
over here, Donnie.
Rubbing vulva against vulva. Come on, sit down. We've
sit
got
down.
Five
here,
minutes.
We've got 5 minutes. Come on, Dwyer.
Sit down.
Yeah, come on.
We talked about the bonobo article in the very beginning of the show. We had a gentleman who learned about the bonobos from me, and he needed to get reassurance from me that they were okay, because he was told by the Wall Street Journal that the bonobos are miscreants, and the Wall Street Journal is just trying to use bonobos to excuse their warmongering philosophy. They're trying to get on the backs of bonobos to mount more wars for the future of humanity, and we just aren't going to put up with that. So Dwyer is here in the studio, and what is going on here?
Don't worry about that.
I see lights are flashing.
I don't know about monkeys in war. I know about monkeys.
They're not
climbing.
Monkeys. They're chimpanzees. They have no tails. Monkeys have tails.
Does that make them higher on the evolutionary?
You could say higher if you feel that humans are the highest. Humans are, closer to bonobos. Bonobos are 98%
great,
genetically similar to humans, and monkeys are farther away from humans.
Mavis, you can take that mic.
They're closer to dogs. No, they're closer to baboons. Actually, baboons, I think, might not have... Do they have tails? Baboons are a kind of monkey.
Baboons don't have fur on their butts.
Yeah.
How do you know about that, Dwyer?
Because it looks funny.
Dwyer's our neighbor. She's beautiful. She's an artist.
Do you have fur on your butt, Mavis?
Absolutely.
Who is
it
this?
It comes in an interesting pattern
here.
Though.
Not Alone has just put themselves into the...
Okay, Not Alone.
Not Alone is in Turkey.
Turkey.
And it says about me, I'm not gay. Good to know. Hello, Not Alone, Not Gay, Horny Boy.
Are you there?
Okay. I'm gay and alone.
Not gay.
You're from Turkey?
Yeah, I'm from Turkey.
Yeah, and so what did you want to talk about? Why'd you put yourself in the waiting area, horny boy?
What?
We know you're not gay. Okay, we're going to have to put you down into listening because you have too much static.
Turkey is not coming in.
Too much static. So back to Dwyer.
I doubt Dwyer.
So, Dwyer, did you read about the bonobos in The New Yorker?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Can you fill me in?
Well, Mavis can. He read all about it.
Well, according to Dr. Susie, it's ridiculous or awful because I guess they refute Dr. Susie's favorite tenets about bonobos, which is their nymphomania and utopian.
Nymphomaniac sounds negative. Also, I didn't like the way he called them promiscuous. That's very judgmental. They have a lot of sex. That's
promiscuous isn't per se judgmental.
Well, not maybe as much as nymphomaniac, but
nymphomania is a beautiful word.
Well, in your view, and perhaps in Ian Parker's view, promiscuous is a beautiful word. But I think that he was very kind of
Dwyer,
measured in his criticism. But right wing bloggers like the Wall Street Journal and
the Wall Street Journal is only middle of the road.
The blog.
Their
blog is.
Well,
like,
the Wall Street Journal in general is not, you know, the news is not right wing, but the blog is pretty right wing. They called me Saddam's sex therapist, okay?
That makes
just
sense.
Because I was against the Iraq war. So, you know, they're.
Did you. Oh.
That's
right.
Almost comical.
I saw a set of, like, a photo shoot of Saddam's, like, mistress, like, mistress's apartments that he kept.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the TV show He-Man and She-Ra? Like, the cartoon, this.
He-Man and She-Ra.
It's like a giant muscle bound.
We were talking about She-Males earlier.
This is.
With Afghanistan, so.
Like, a comic book, basically, with a bunch of, like, well-muscled, like, Aryans with swords and large-breasted blonde women fighting tigers.
All right.
And
sounds
Saddam's,
fun.
Like, mistress's abodes, he has, like, murals of him painted as, like, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed man with his face.
Saddam is a blonde-haired, blue-eyed
with,
man.
Like,
I cannot
swords
see it.
Fighting, like, pumas and, like, strange mythological creatures.
You know, when I was his sex therapist, he never told me about those fantasies.
He was suffering from repression.
He told
issues.
Me about Britney Spears, though.
Everybody
what did.
Did
he say about Britney Spears?
He wanted her.
I see.
In his gold-plated bathtub.
Dr. Susie, can I ask you a sort of fundamental question about the program?
I like fun fundamental questions, yeah.
It's a fun fundamental question based on the nature of the show. But I'm interested and fascinated at your ability to tie in...
Everything?
Everything, but namely politics, war, and sex and pleasure.
Mm.
How do you do that? Because normally, I mean, maybe it's just sort of like a weird place for me to try and comment, because if I'm thinking about sex, sexy and erotic, I'm probably not thinking about international warfare and politics, and definitely not like Saddam Hussein or George Bush.
Yeah, no, I understand.
How do you put those two together?
Well, I put them together because to me, sex and violence are two basic instincts. They're
totally.
They're very, very basic in humans and other animals. And, you know, everything kind of comes back to them. And they sometimes operate together, you know, in rape. I think that there are often sexual motivations for war, and people sometimes have violent emotions going on when they're aroused.
And we certainly don't want to live under the Taliban. So it's a political struggle to have our freedom as individuals.
And I do believe that that often politicians and leaders in general like to channel people's sexual energy into war. I think that that's a critical aspect of getting people to fight a war.
Is that de facto bad?
Well, mm-hmm. You know, I knew you'd ask something like that. I'm an anti-war person for the most part. I mean, I believe in self-defense, but when you're trying to rev up the populace to attack another country based on sexual excitement and arousing imagery, I guess I would have to say that that's de facto bad.
But most of the imagery they've given us has been awful. Like, it hasn't really been... It's been awful insofar as it's not that awful. Like, it's very tame.
Well, you know, I mean, there's so many aspects of war that have sexual sides to them. I mean, for instance, Abu Ghraib. I mean, here we have a bunch of prisoners that are being put through sexual paces in order to get them to talk about war secrets.
That was probably just
that
pure
more
torture.
That's like, it seems like a torture, getting people to talk is kind of what people do once they've established, this is my victim, I have power.
Yes.
How many fucked up things can I do to get what I want out of them? And that's where, like, more sexual things come into. But, like, fundamentally, war and sex, like, I'm thinking kind of like Orwell's 1984, how they have those, like, hate sessions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where they kind of evoke, you know, all the violent energy and rechannel it in the way they would want.
Right.
Sexual desire or that energy instigate international war to begin with?
Well,
war is sexual repression?
to a great degree, there's a certain amount of repression, of sexual repression, that is important to war. It's like the war effort. You have to channel your energy, your excitement, your arousal into defeating the enemy. That's,
is it fair to say that our single largest store of energy is sexual, or at least erotic?
I think that's fair. I would say so. I mean, I guess that the single largest store of energy would be survival, and then erotic after that. We mostly want to survive, but since so many of us don't have such difficulty surviving, we spend a lot of time with our sexual energy. And I think sexual energy is what not just makes people go to war, but it drives people to create art, to do many things. That's why we don't just talk about war and sex here. We talk about all kinds of things. Sex is related to most human endeavors that go beyond personal survival.
But I think in the end, as a great bonobo that I am, and I will pound my chest, is this. Some people have to build industrial complexes in order to get laid. Literally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Some people have to make a canvas. And the poor. I am an artiste. So, in the end...
And you got laid.
Yeah. In the end, when we go to bed at night, it's like, who am I hugging? And what's it about? And that's really...
And by the way, when studies have shown that when people come home from war, they're very eroticized and they have a lot of sex. The baby boom happened after World War II. People, you know, sometimes war acts as a kind of aphrodisiac. It makes people cling to each other and want to get away from that.
Also a turn on, like after car wrecks or large disasters,
people have sex.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a combination of maybe it being a turn on and a turn off. You know, you kind of you're aroused. Your bloodlust is aroused, and so you want something physical. You want to connect with someone, and hopefully it would be something pleasant like sex. And at the same time, you're so turned off by violence sometimes that we seek refuge in love and in sex.
And in the end, at the end of the day. All of us as humans or as animals, who are we hugging? Who are we touching? What are we smelling?
All right. Well, we have gone past our designated ending. So
nice guests from
we
next
did
door.
Have some nice guests. That made I do have someone in. Should I put this person up here?
One last word.
Jatin. Let's just see if this person
Jatin.
Can be heard. Hello.
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 Hello. I wanted to ask a question.
Okay, quick question.
Make it quick.
He's calling from Mauritius.
To what? Repeat that, please.
Okay. He's a sadomasochist.
Oh, gosh. I couldn't hear
it.
Sadomasochism?
Sodomy.
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 Sodomy, yes.
Ye old sodomy.
Sodomy is an old biblical term. For any kind of sex that isn't penis and vagina intercourse. So if you have fellatio, it's sodomy, and anal sex is also
the Greek
sodomy.
Guy. No, that's Blake. It's not the Greek guy.
He's behind you. The Greek
he's behind
guy.
Me. sodomy. What do you know about sodomy?
So what do you want to know about sodomy?
What do you want to know about sodomy?
Jatin.
Is it dangerous?
Oh.
Well, now, first of all, which kind of sodomy are we talking about here? Fellatio or anal sex?
Anal sex.
Anal sex. Uh-huh. Are you the giver or receiver?
No, giver.
Giver? No.
Yeah.
Ah,
I'm the giver.
Okay.
The giver.
Well, if you're the giver, then it is not so dangerous for you. But you have to be a good person and care about your partner. It is much more dangerous for the receiver to have anal sex. And what's dangerous is unprotected, rough anal sex. Okay? If you do it nice and slow with lots of lubrication and if you use a condom, it's not dangerous.
And lots of olive oil.
Well, not olive oil, with a condom.
Boy butter.
Peanut butter.
Are you doing it with a girl or a guy?
Who are you doing it with?
A girl.
A girl.
A girl.
Oh, excuse moi. Por favor. Well, sometimes guys do it. No, but, you know, you can do it with a girl. You know, we all have assholes. So you can do it with any of us.
And where are you calling from?
Is this a girl that you are, is this your wife? Or is this just girls in general?
She's a friend. She wants me to do it.
She's what?
She wants me to do it.
She wants.
Oh, she wants you to do it.
And but Mr. Penis doesn't want to do it, or what?
Do you not want to do it?
No, I was a bit scared because I heard some things about it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Make, you know, be nice to have her clean. Maybe she should take an enema and shower before this.
Showering sounds like a good deal.
Well, you know, we're the pillars here. We've got to make sure of that. What?
I feel like I'm in a ship.
I think she wants to take the shower.
She will take a shower.
She
good.
Will.
That's
okay,
a good
that's
start.
Good. That's
okay.
A good, sign.
Good to be clean for this kind of activity. Yeah. And you be clean too, okay? And and do you have other partners? Does she have other partners besides you?
She's only my sex partner. She's my girlfriend.
She's your girlfriend.
Friend.
So you do not have any
no,
other partner.
No, she's not my girlfriend.
She's not your
she's
girlfriend.
She's not your girlfriend.
Hello?
Do you have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. So you're cheating on your girlfriend. Now that's a whole other issue that you didn't ask
that.
Me about.
Boo,
so
boo,
you know.
Boo, 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 boo.
Well, you know. Then I'm not going to recommend that you have sex with someone other than your girlfriend. But if you're going to use a condom. Of course. Okay, and take a shower afterwards.
Just take a shower and then do whatever you want to do.
Okay. Or you could just take a shower and just stick your thumb in your ass or something, or you know. Does your
okay?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Where are you calling from?
He's calling from the Philippines.
Philippines.
Okay.
All
we're gonna
right.
put him. There's a bunch of people now in waiting.
Get rid of them all.
I'm getting
goodbye.
Okay. Should I talk to these other people?
I'm crazed. No. Get rid of them. Well, one more.
Okay. One more. Katamori.
Katamori. Where is he calling from?
I don't know. It sounds like something like calamari, but.
Katamari.
Katamori.
Under the oceans.
Hello.
Hello, calamari.
Katamori.
Oh, Katamori.
Hello. He's in El Paso. You should speak English. David is your name. El Paso. We got another Texan here, Dave.
Well,
I can't hear him. Okay, moving you down to listening.
Close it up.
Okay, Peg. I'm just going to go through these real quick. Peg Pangotti? Hello?
Pangotti, speak up.
Wait a second.
I cannot hear you.
Yeah, just listening.
You're just
can you hear me now?
Okay, you put yourself into waiting, though. Okay, so I'm going to put you down into listening. Okay, and now here's another David. Or is this the same David? We might be... Hello?
Yeah. Come in.
The Skypers are all very staticky tonight.
All crazy.
Okay.
Okay, good night.
David, can you speak or no? No.
Yeah.
No, Skype is Skyping.
All right, y'all. We're going to put you all back into listening because we're gonna close up the show. And I want to thank you all for talking about, bonobos, she-males, masturbation, male and female ejaculation, anal sex... war, peace,
showering
very important aspect of sex in the Philippines. Bonobos. Okay, and don't believe everything you read in the New Yorker. Okay,
right.
Even though
please.
it's a fine, very venerable publication, and we respect it and all that, but don't believe everything you read in it, especially.
They're communists.
Anything by Ian Parker.
Only read The Economist and The Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal. The guy read The Wall Street Journal. They're the ones that took the bonobo thing and made like, okay, this is an excuse for us to bomb everybody because the bonobos might have bit off somebody's finger. Because
but
the bonobos
they brought
might
the finger
not,
back.
Yeah. I mean, one thing they didn't put in that article. I mean, so many things, but you know, the incident in which. One bonobo female bit off the finger of, not the whole finger, but just the fingertip. Just the fingertip of a keeper was because she was pregnant and he was examining her mouth. and he stuck his fingers in her mouth, and she bit down and then spit out the fingertip.
And Lana.
And Lana, my favorite bonobo at the San Diego Zoo.
You have a very personal
relationship. I do. I must admit, I am not objective when it comes to talking about Lana, and she retrieved the fingertip.
That was very sweet.
And brought it.
And brought it back to the keeper. And he got it sewn back on.
Word.
I mean, you know, how many people would be able to get it together to do that? They'd be tearing their hair out, you know, over this. So anyway, bonobos are very cool. If they have been killing anybody, which I do not see any evidence of, it's probably because they've been traumatized by having their environment decimated by war, logging industry, and poachers. So, just poach eggs, not bonobos. Okay?
Long before the war in Iraq, there was the war in the Congo, and these poor
this war in the Congo keeps going on and on and on.
It's getting worse.
It's terrible.
It's getting ready to escalate.
You know, and
because of the oil industry, actually, now in the Congo Delta,
it's all oil. Yeah, the Congo has everything. They got diamonds, they got oil, they got...
God forbid they ever existed.
Yeah. Paper.
If I knew them, I would do something about it.
The oil people? You don't know any oil people, I know. You're into the soap business.
Soy products primarily, and soap.
Hemp.
And shower products.
Yeah, shower products.
Yes, soap.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so we are going to wind up. Thank you, Dwyer. Thank you, Mavis. Thank you, Blake. Thank you,
Dwyer.
All.
You look beautiful tonight.
Afghanistan. We had a he's still there. We had a great time talking with Parviz in Afghanistan, who is a prosecutor.
The last tribes and metal workers of the world.
Tribes and metal workers?
Yeah, they are metal workers. They can reproduce any rifle.
Okay, we're trying to talk about peace here.
Yeah, well,
okay,
but,
and,
you know.
Let's try. Why don't you turn your rifle factories into vibrator factories, okay?
We love you.
Make love, not war. Make like the bonobos, not the baboons. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
From Los Angeles, California, you've been listening to Revolution and Evolution. From our house to your house, thank you for having us. And you know what? You better lay down your arms because the planet is fucked up and Mother Nature is tired. And you know when Mom gets mad, what she does? You know what she does, right? She says, get out of my fucking house now. From our house to your house, thank you for having us. We love you. And we're going to smoke.